You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 12th, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day.
That's right. We've made it to the middle of the week. Welcome in, everybody, to the world headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, at the crossroads of State and Fairchild Street. Mr. Zommers, let's take a quick look out there at the old Sam Davison Street Cam. It is a beautiful, beautiful fall day, a little warmer today. Look at that, people milling about downtown Madison. The one remaining tree across from our studios turning a golden yellow as the fall is upon us. A beautiful day. Get out there and enjoy it. It's going to be cooler after this weekend. Temperatures may hit 60 degrees by Saturday and then cooling off. So looking forward to some nice fall weather here. Big show today. Stay with us. Lots going on at the bottom of this hour. In studio, we will talk to former state representative and now a candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, i.e. the North Woods. Fred Clark is going to be here in studio talking to us about all things congressional and up north. And speaking of that, right now, our normal panel joining us from the Up North studios of Lake Wissota. You can hear him every morning from 6 until 9 with Mornings of Pat Kreitlow, the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow. Patrick, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, but never mind me. I'm looking at the monitor. Trigvi, you have never looked more handsome. I mean, you are like a dead ringer for Matt Flint. Oh, wait, Trigvi just popped up on my monitor here. I thought there'd been this big old upgrade.
He had a hair transplant with that coif of hair.
Hair transplanted. I mean, it would have been quite. Yeah. So meanwhile, on the right side of our screen is Team Hair, and on the left side of the screen over here,
that's a good. For those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, yes, we have Pat Kreitlow on the right and above. It's like Hollywood or the Brady Bunch here, or Hollywood Squares. In the right hand square, we have playing along Matt Flynn, 2-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an author, a U.S. Navy veteran, and an attorney, joining us via StreamYard in Milwaukee. Matt Flynn, welcome back to the program.
Good to be back. Good to be back on the Todd Albaugh Show.
Yes. I like this game show look here, because Matt and I have been accused of having game show hair, like Wink Martindale.
Right.
But, you know, say he used to have this kind of stuff, you know?
Well, you both look fantastic. On the left-hand side, as Pat said, you have me, Mr. Baldine, and Trigvi, who is a little bit more advanced, although I think he shaves his head now. But he has a great beard, former Republican like myself, River Falls native, and now a senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Joining us from the Tony suburbs of Washington, D.C., Trigvi Olson, how are you?
I am good. I thought, who invited this kid to come on the show with me and Pat? It's like we invited some 16-year-old to come hang out.
I know, right?
It doesn't even look like he has a driver's license, let alone drinking beer.
It's amazing.
I'm the oldest guy on the screen right now.
It's amazing how much better and younger you look when you stop doing a 6 a.m. radio show. Healthiest decision that guy ever made. Look what it's done to me.
No, you both look fine. Speaking of things that do not look fine, though, gentlemen, I wanted you all here at the top of the show to talk about this story that I'm just astounded. I think, Pat, you might have. I started listening to Pat this morning about 7:15, so you probably talked about it earlier. But I know our friend Jane Matinere and Greg talked about it on their show. But other than those two programs, I have not seen any national media as far as television or radio talking about this today. Although there has been some great reporting from the New York Times and other newspaper organizations. What we're talking about, folks, if you missed it, last night, and you had to be a nerd like me to have Wisconsin basketball on one screen and C-SPAN on the other. Last night, the U.S. House of Representatives, in a committee hearing, were going through this basically deal that the Senate passed a couple of days ago to reopen the government. And tucked away, sneakily, is a provision which would allow 8 U.S. senators, all Republican, including Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, to be paid out up to $500,000 in, I guess you'd say, remuneration, damages, I don't know what, because they were aggrieved. Because, you know, there was that little thing of Ron Johnson being a vote mule, trying to take illegal votes from the Wisconsin State Capitol out to Mike Pence to overturn the election. And, you know, Pence, I'm not sure whether it was the gallows, Matt Flynn, on the lawn, or whether it was the chance of hanging Mike Pence, when he had a moment of clarity, and he said, no, even that's too far for me, stealing an election. So he told Ron Johnson to keep his votes in his pocket, and they certified Joe Biden, as they rightfully should, to be president of the United States. And now we see that there is this deal for $500,000, and what's worse to me is there seems to be language in this bill, whatever you want to call it, that would hamstring the U.S. Department of Justice from winning if Ron Johnson and the other 7 senators sued. Matt, let's get right to the details as far as legally, as an attorney, do I have this about right?
Yeah, you nailed it. And let me just say a couple of things. This bill on that provision is a fraud on the hoof. It's pure fraud. What it says is that Ron Johnson can get $500,000 because there was a subpoena for his phone records, a lawful subpoena. That gives immunity to the judge issuing it and to the agent executing it, because he had not just Wisconsin, he had the Michigan fake electors in his pocket, try to feed them to Pence's chief of staff. He should have been prosecuted. He was not. And now he should get what, 500 grand? Two things to keep in mind. One is, Trump says he's going to take 250 million grand, for the execution of the search warrant in Mar-a-Lago. But number two, they baked in this poison pill that says that the Justice Department can't even defend the suit. Now, that is fraud. If I'm a federal judge and I see that, I would appoint a special federal prosecutor to defend the suit, because you can't just use the courts to steal $500,000.
Pat Kreitlow?
Apparently now you can. The grift is very real here, and it's no surprise that, you know, Ron Johnson is leading the way on this. I would note, as the New York Times does in their story, that seizing someone's phone records does not mean investigators could listen to the conversations or know the contents of them. This is metadata. Phone, like in your phone bill, the numbers that were called, how long the call lasted, from where the calls were made. And what you're looking for there is not necessarily the contents of the call, but for patterns that might connect the dots. You know, the way that all the dots connect Ron Johnson in ways that he continues to deny as being, like you said, a ballot mule as part of the fake electors plot.
Trigvi Olson, former Republicans Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger were part of the bipartisan January 6th commission that found obvious wrongdoing, that Trump instigated this attempted insurrection. And you have the U.S. Department of Justice under Biden doing what they should, investigate to make sure nobody did something wrong. And for that, and clearly Johnson participated in this, he said that, oh, well, I'd have for just a couple of minutes. But he doesn't deny being a part of this. And now he wants 500 grand because the U.S. Department of Justice did what they should.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, I mean, it's a sign of abject failure of political elites and of these individuals to even suggest that they would be willing to take it is just outrageous. And last time I checked, Matt, where would that money come from? Whose money would the $500,000 times 4 be, or 8? U.S. taxpayers. That's who'd be paying it. Because
right.
It's, you know, like, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. And I think, you know, what I think it's really about is they probably are afraid of Jack Smith testifying openly. And so there are attempts going on to try and undermine what Jack Smith was doing. Because remember, it was Jack Smith who requested the phone records because he was doing due diligence as an investigator. So, of course, he would be looking at trying to see who was calling who. Why wouldn't you?
Matt Flynn, you've talked about Jack Smith and his network a lot. I mean, he was doing what he was supposed to do, was he not? To Triggy's point.
Right. What Trump is trying to do by taking money and damages is try to change the narrative about what really happened, giving money basic. He fired the prosecutors who prosecuted the wrong, and then he's paying money to the people who perpetrated the wrong. And as Pat Kreitlow said, it's a great point. So far, it's only a subpoena for metadata. But I got news for you. Even if the subpoena had been, you can wiretap his phone. Mm-hmm. Courts can do that. And if they do, they have complete immunity, and so does the agent listening to it. This is a scam. It's a fraud to simply stick their hands into the taxpayers' money and take out $500,000.
Pat Kreitlow, you are
and
a Democratic.
Play people for fools.
Yeah. Pat, you're a Democratic state senator. Trigvi, you've worked for guys like Rand Paul and John McCain and others. Pat, you and then Trigvi, last night, nobody seems to know where this came from. I don't know. Who put this in there? Nobody knows.
As a legislator, I know how easy it is to slip something into a bill at the last minute and hope that nobody's catching it. And again, by and large, at the legislative level, it's a lot easier to catch. The bills aren't quite as complex. It still happens. But with a federal bill, these things are just so monstrous. I mean, if anybody's listening out there that can put AI to good use, let's put AI to good use and somehow devouring these bills quicker so that we can find slimy stuff like this before it comes up. Because now you've got a lot of Republicans, they're squirming. They don't mm-hmm. like this at all. They're going to get an earful, but it's too far down the train is too far down the track now. You'd have to start over.
Trigvi Olson, I work for Scott Klug at the congressional level and Dale Schultz at the state Senate level. If I would have been a top staffer at that time and let my boss vote yes on that, knowing that was in there or didn't know it was in there, I'd be gone. I mean, there's agree or disagree, Trigvi, there is almost no way that these people, both Republicans and the 8 Democrats, by the way, who voted for this in the Senate, that they didn't know this was in there.
Oh, I think it's unlikely that the 8 Democrats probably knew it was in there. I mean, it's essentially possible only the 8. Yeah, maybe. I mean, to Pat's point, there already is the AI machine reading all of the bills. Like, there's people selling that. But
so you're let me make sure.
Yeah,
so you're saying
I would
the 8 Democrats. You don't think the 8 Democrats knew it?
No, I can't imagine that they would have gone along with it. It would have broken earlier, I think, had they known.
I don't know why they
would be going along with that. I think somebody slipped this in. I think, you know, to Matt's point, it's all about the PR, because then what they'd be able to say afterwards is, see, none of this was true. In fact, Justice Department had to pay $500,000 to each of these people for, you know, tapping their wires or whatever it was, Trump's famous quote back in 2016. But here's the thing, for people who are listening, at the end of the day, like, do you think Ron Johnson should be getting $500,000 of your money? Like, I mean, Ron Johnson's
a pretty rich guy.
He married well.
Yeah, right. Right.
He married well.
Ron Johnson didn't create anything. He married into the wealth. It was his wife's parents and family that had the company. Ron Johnson never created anything except a good deal for marriage. Right?
Yeah, right. Married well.
He married up. That's what Matt Flynn tells me all the time. We do shows together, and his lovely wife Mary is there. He says they married up.
It's the only way to do it, buddy. It's the only way.
All right, come on back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, and there is more breaking news on hemp. And one of the guys speaking out against it is somebody that Trigvi Olson used to work for. We'll tell you who and discuss it after this. We have Matt Flynn, Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olson, and you as the All-Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 22 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Just sitting around smoking a bowl with Matt Flynn, Pat Kreitlow, and Trigvi Olson here in the middle of the week. No, we're joking, for goodness sake. We're joking. Little Bob Dylan there, man. Because we're talking about not necessarily getting stoned, but hemp. Going to get to that in a minute, but quickly, let's go to Spooner. Spooner, I barely knew her. Paul and Spooner, thanks for calling. 855-752-4842. Paul, go ahead. What do you got on Ron Johnson?
Well, what I'm thinking is that what we have here is Ron Johnson and Donald Trump just basically going to line their pockets as they're on their way out, because they know that they're not going to run for re-election and get re-elected. So line the pockets when you can. But what I would really like to see the Democrats or Republicans in the Senate do is to face off with each one of these eight and just ask them, who put this in? Did you put it in? Do you want us to continue or pull this? And see what they say.
Yeah.
Put them on the spot.
That's a great point. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate the call. Pat, thoughts on that?
I think that's perfectly fair. And don't expect an answer. We always get that. Right. I mean, because again, we've got the, oh, I pardoned this guy. Oh, I don't even know who he is. And the Speaker of the House saying, I don't even know who this guy is. So, of course, they're all going to say, I don't know how this got in here. It's amazing that people are cynical about politicians this way.
We're talking about what happened last night in the U.S. House of Representatives in a subcommittee where they're going through this, the bill to reopen government that the Senate already passed, including Ron Johnson, basically voted for $500,000 for himself if he goes to court and gets it along with seven other Republican senators. But guys, also tucked into this little bill that nobody knows where this came from, apparently, it basically would outlaw hemp production in the United States of America, including here in Wisconsin. And hemp, for those who don't know, we're not talking about the THC raising marijuana to smoke. This is a hemp that's used in rope. It's used in clothing. And somebody that was used to be involved in the Rand Paul world, our own Trigvi Olson here on this panel, went to the Senate floor to speak about this, saying, look, Kentucky makes a lot of money on hemp production. We should take this out of here. None of his colleagues, very few, supported him on this. But Trigvi, what do you know about Rand Paul and his support of hemp? And according, I pulled up Bob Lang's paper from the Wisconsin Fiscal Bureau on this. Wisconsin makes a lot of money on hemp production as well.
Yeah, I know that Rand has been a big advocate for hemp, for like CBD oils and things like that. And so has McConnell, for that matter. I mean, it's a huge business in Kentucky. And what you're seeing here is, you know, I mean, he's doing what senators do, which is, in theory, what they should always be doing, which is fighting for the interests of their constituents. I'm not sure how taking $500,000 for being part of an effort to falsify elections counts as taking care of your constituents, but more like giving it to your constituents.
Pat Kretlow, you know agriculture in Wisconsin very well, of course, from your time in the state Senate. But again, this is another instance where, look, Ron Johnson already voted for himself, to Trigvi's point on this already. But we have all the House delegation that's going to vote on this tonight, including this provision to get rid of hemp in Wisconsin. It would seem to me, Pat Kretlow, that people should be calling their congressional offices throughout Wisconsin and saying, don't hurt Wisconsin's ag community.
Yeah, but to the larger issue is something else that they should tell, especially the senators who are involved in this. Read the bill. I mean, we hear this all the time, that they're going to do this, that there's going to be like this 24-hour wait before they vote on anything, and then things get rushed right on through. It happens in Washington, D.C. It happens in Madison, and they know how to ram these things through, sneak things in, and we need more people who will say, like any one of these eight Democrats could have said, I am getting lots of heat, but I'm going to go along with the Republicans on this, but you got to give me time to see what all is in here. And they didn't. And it doesn't mean it's all their fault, but we got to have more due diligence, including the ability to vote no on something if you're not given enough time for a decent summary of what's actually in the damn thing.
Matt Flynn, give you a dealer's choice. You could talk about this, or you could also talk about the other big story today, which is there's new evidence on the Epstein files that Trump, from basically Epstein from the grave, saying that Trump knew about these girls. He was spent a lot of time alone with him. Is there anything legally here new that's useful, or does anything matter on this subject anymore?
Well, you can conflate the two issues in this respect. We're assuming that, the bill that's going to pass tonight passes, but if there are three defectors, it's not going to pass. And the fact of the matter is, there are some people that are angry as hell about this. The second thing is that with regard to the Epstein files, the thing stinks to high heaven. I mean, Epstein committed suicide when he was on suicide watch because a guy walked away from...
Supposedly.
Yeah, the Russian mafia didn't get in with... Give me a break. But the second thing about it is that some of these emails that came out today suggest that Trump was alone with a couple of these victims, or at least one of these victims, for I think a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at some point, when the vote comes up to disclose the entire file, Republican congressmen are going to be very, very hard pressed to vote against it. They really are.
Yeah.
It takes a much larger vote to pass, but some of these guys are going to have their hats handed to them if they vote against it.
Yeah, it's a big political issue. Aside from the tragedy of the victims here, it's also a big political issue. And we'll find out tonight, because this new congresswoman from, was it Arizona, Pat, is getting sworn in hopefully today, finally, after what? How many days waiting?
Yeah, and it's a crime. It should never have come to that. And again, what are we talking about here? If Derek Van Orden and Tony Weed and all the rest vote for this, they're voting for a cover-up. Mm-hmm. And so let's not wait for the 218 votes. Let's get 400 plus votes out. Get this out here. Get justice to the victims. Doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican in those files. Let's do the right thing.
You can hear Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mornings of Pat Kreitlow. And go buy Matt Flynn's new book, wherever you find your books, Matthew J. Flynn. It's a great read. Thank you both very much. Trigby, and I'll come back with Fred Clark after this, sitting right here in the studio on his congressional run in the 7th District. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 35 now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 12th, 2025. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, a River Falls boy and a former Republican like myself, joins us from the suburbs of Washington, D.C. via StreamYard. And Trigby, I know how passionate you are about your home part of the state, northern Wisconsin, and pleased to have our next guest here in the studio. He is a former state representative for the state of Wisconsin. That's where I first met him during my time as a political flack. That's a spokesperson and a staffer working for Dale Schultz. Former state representative Fred Clark joins us here in studio, and now a Democratic candidate for Congress in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, comprising much of northern Wisconsin, if not all of it, the now district of Tom Tiffany, of course, who is running for governor. Representative Clark, welcome to the show.
Todd, good to see you. And if we made a list of the way our paths have crossed over the years, it might go long. But really glad to be in the studio. And Trigby, good to meet you.
It's great to have you.
Nice to meet you.
It's great to have you here. Well, as we do with everyone on the show for the first time, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, your time in the legislature, and how you ended up in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Todd. I'm a Michigan boy. I grew up in southern Michigan. I've been 35 years in Wisconsin. I moved here to go to a school in forestry at the great UW-Madison, right down the street from here. And since then, most of that time, I've worked as a forester, conservationist, land manager, working all over the state from a home base in Baraboo. I've spent 3 terms in the state legislature representing Baraboo, parts of Sauk, Columbia, Marquette counties. Got to know your former boss, Dale Schultz, really well during those years. Mm. And like anybody elected to office, a crash course in public policy.
Yeah.
I served on the Council on Forestry, served on Natural Resources Board during that time. And after 2014, I took a step back, ran a couple of different nonprofits doing conservation and environmental work. Mm. And 4 years ago, after going through a divorce, I decided to take a move to the northern part of Wisconsin. So packed up my sailboat and the fishing rods and the hunting rifles and moved up to Bayfield County and have just loved it up there.
Well, I'm glad to have you here because I don't know, Trigby, I can't think of a better candidate to be running for Congress, regardless of party, than you. And I say that only because when I first got to meet you, Dale Schultz, of course, Republican, and I remember one of the first times when he met you and he came back and he goes, "Do you know Fred Clark?" And I said, "Oh, I know he's in the legislature." He goes, "Man, he's impressive." And I know because Dale does manage forest on his land.
Yeah.
And that's where he really bonded with you. And I think just he has a great deal of respect for your knowledge of forestry and of conservation. And you know, Trigby, you like to say on this show all the time, there are 2 kinds of politicians, those that want to be and those that want to do. And Fred Clark, your time in the legislature, you always struck me as someone who wanted to do.
Well, the thing I got the most value of was working across the aisle on so many different issues. And your former boss, Dale Schultz, he was a mentor to me because I watched Dale stand up on principle time and again. And he was an embodiment, I think, of the kind of public service ethic that we need to see more of today.
So what would, and you're, I've been out of politics for a while. Why on earth in these crazy times, what motivated you to get back into this and run for Congress on the 7th District?
That's a fine question. And if you'd have asked me a year ago, not even on my radar. But honestly, watching the unfolding of the poison pills that have come out of this administration since this January, the way it's affecting people throughout northern Wisconsin, just, it really hit home for me. I spent quite a bit of time on the road this summer with a few friends because we wanted to take the temperature of the 7th Congressional District. And we visited, over the course of a couple of road trips, about 20 counties. Talked to Democrats, talked to independents, walked into bars and restaurants and just started talking to voters, or regular people, I should say. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, the pain being distributed by this administration is being felt by people in so many different ways across the political spectrum. What's clear to me right now is that people are paying attention in a way they hadn't before, and I think people are open to an idea of better representation. That's the case we're going to be making in the next year.
Trigvy?
Yeah, so I love that you're out, and Todd knows this. Every time we have candidates on, the thing I'm saying to them, you know, I spent my life doing campaigns in Republican politics, and now I find myself talking to Democrats more often, so yeah. Take it for what it's worth. But, you know, in Wisconsin, I really think, and I think about my best friends back in St. Croix County, my beer-drinking buddies, right? What's important to them is politicians who will come and talk to them. You know, the success of Tommy Thompson and Tammy Baldwin is based on the same sort of get out and talk to people. One of the things, though, that I think about the 7th District that's so interesting, right? You have everything from, you know, Twin City suburbs in St. Croix County, where I'm from, up to Bayfield and places like where you're from that have a lot fewer people. Did you see that same kind of pain across all parts of the district, or was it?
Yeah, I think it's felt differently in different ways. There's certainly some more, call it more prosperous areas with, you know, higher incomes and the, you know, suburban bedroom communities like you might find in Hudson or parts of St. Croix County. Even the region where I live, around Lake Superior, there's certainly a lot of recreational focus there. A lot of property owners live out of state, as you know. But northern Wisconsin is predominantly rural. It's dominated by small communities and small businesses, farming and forestry and small manufacturing. And there, I think the impacts are being felt really widely. You know, those Affordable Care Act subsidy, the elimination of that tax subsidy is just a gut punch for people who are going to see their premiums quadruple or even more. They got to figure out whether to either mine their retirement savings or drop their health coverage altogether. And that's the kind of pain that I think has people's attention. And it's why we're going to make the case that we need better representation for the North.
We're talking with former State Representative Fred Clark, who is now a Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress in the 7th Congressional District of the state. The seat that's currently being held by Tom Tiffany, who, of course, is not running for re-election because he is going to be running for the Republican nomination for governor. We have him here in studio and joining us via StreamYard, as he does every Wednesday, Trigvy Olson, Senior Advisor of the Lincoln Project. Representative Clark, Trigvy and I talk about this, and Trigvy always puts a big, you know, emphasis on this, politics north of Highway 29. And the Democrats more recently, with the exception of Tammy Baldwin, have had trouble winning up there. But you're familiar, guys like Bob Jauch and Roger Bresky. Mm-hmm. And Trigvy, I'm sure I'm missing people along the way. Democrats
Dave
who—
Obey.
Dave Obey.
Jim Holprin.
Democrats who did win Thompson up there. I'm looking at your website. Here, Trigvy, here's Representative Clark's agenda for running for Congress: rebuilding our rural economy, border safety and immigration, health care for everyone, a future for our farms and forests, our Constitution, and the rule of law. That does not seem lefty to me. I mean, it seems pretty mainstream. It seems like that meshes well with Trigvy's bar-drinking buddies in northern Wisconsin.
You know, the word common sense gets thrown around. Maybe we can say that's a common sense platform. But, yeah. I mean, absolutely. If you look at what makes these communities prosperous, it's the productivity of our forests. It's the productivity of our farms. And certainly the recreational outdoor sector, hunting, fishing, outdoor pursuits is all important. But we've got to take care of that resource. Nowhere in this state is that more important than here. So to see the National Forest System, for example, have a large number of their senior employees fired while they're trying to supply the timber that helps make businesses work, it's just an example of policies that are completely out of touch with what we need here in the North.
Trigvi, you put on this however you want to do it, but again, those values that, Fred Clark is talking about here for Congress, you know this better than I do, being from there, it just seems to me that that's how you connect with people and you find where they really are at, whether it's their bar, their kitchen table, their VFW. And how many times, Trigvi, you more so than I, because Trigvi is much more successful politically than I am, but you get candidates and you're like, oh man, we got to put him in a hunt. We got to make him look like a hunter here. We got to put it. And you know, I remember Bob Caston, former Republican U.S. Senator, came to the Grant County Fair one time and he came right from D.C. in a suit and he went into a tent. And honest to God, he came out, his staff had bought him a pair of Wrangler jeans from JCPenney and a flannel shirt. And the jeans still had like the size.
The
label on them. And Trigvi, here you got your Fred Clark, the real deal. You don't have to shine him up.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, right, authenticity, people spot a phony from a miles and miles away. And I think you're seeing more and more. There's a hunger. I'd be curious when you're out and about. I just think there's a hunger for authenticity. And I say this all the time when it comes to the governor's race in Wisconsin. I would take somebody who I disagree with 70% of the time on policy issues if they just get out and be a cheerleader for the state.
Yeah.
Right? And people want authenticity.
You know, I learned that representing a split district in Sauk County where I beat an incumbent Republican by 16 points in my first election. And what I learned from that is, A, you've got to be committed to representing everybody and being willing to talk with everybody. And people want to size you up. They want to look you in the eye. They want to shake your hand and read that authenticity. And for a lot of folks, it's about 15 seconds. That's your opportunity to make your case. It's not even so much as what you say, but it's how you relate to people and show respect. So I'm a retail politician. I'm sticking my nose into every bar and restaurant and chamber of commerce that I can, and I'll be doing that for the next year. And of course, with a congressional district, unlike an assembly district, you've got a lot of ground to cover. But that's where the digital campaign and the social media gives us the ability to really show people what that work really looks like.
We're talking with Fred Clark, candidate for Congress in the 7th District of Wisconsin, i.e. the North Woods, essentially. One of the things, Fred, that the Marquette Law School poll, which is really the gold standard, in my opinion, Wisconsin, came out a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get into the whole head-to-head because like, people aren't paying attention. What I found interesting, and our political editor, Dan Schaefer, put this out on social media, the issues. And to me, these you know, I hate this term, but it's overused, but the pocketbook issues, mm-hmm. you know, the affordability things, that's what most Wisconsinites are really saying in this poll they care about, not so much the things that Trigvi and I's former party are talking about, crime, immigration, whatnot. It's the affordability. Have you found that as you traveled the 7th District?
Without a doubt. And this is just flipped completely from the argument Republicans were using a year ago. But, you know, we know the impact of the Affordable Care Act cuts and the impact on the rural health network that's causing for everybody. We know what the elimination of the SNAP benefits did, even if it's temporary. The cruelty of that is not lost on people. The tariff war, I mean, the president's tariff war, what we're talking about here is a national sales tax that is changing almost daily. And when I talk to business people, nobody can make an investment that requires a predictable policy environment when their knowledge of what the cost of imports is going to be or their ability to sell into an export market is constantly changing. And mm-hmm. and that's the sort of chaos that this administration's creating. That's what is a wake-up call for farmers, hardwood lumber manufacturers. If you're growing ginseng in Wausau in Marathon County, you just lost your market to China this year. Your crop's going to sit in the ground. That's the kind of impact that's being created, and that's a wake-up call.
And Trigvi, that seems to be a much better agenda to connect with people than something coming, with all due respect, than coming out of the suburbs of Washington, D.C. with a high-priced consultant.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think, obviously, economic issues are always the predominant sort of barometer from which you judge things. But I also think there's other things going on, like there is an awful lot of people who believe that what we're seeing is just a failure of political elites and they're looking for something different.
We'll come back and discuss national issues with candidate for Congress Fred Clark of the 7th District, also Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project, and your calls. If you want to chime in, 855-752-4842. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. In hour number two, a Wisconsin fun fact and also a little what's the words today. I believe it's a cheese edition.
Sure is.
Yes, Trigvi, if you want to stick around. But Trigvi is an important guy, so he comes and goes as he can. We have former state representative Fred Clark, who is now a congressional candidate for the 7th District, the North Woods of the state of Wisconsin. But quickly now, Trigvi, let's get this in quickly. You're a graduate of River Falls High School. Big, big football game. People tell people about it.
Yeah, so they're playing to go to the state finals. They get to play in Camp Randall in Wausau against Notre Dame Academy from Green Bay. Apparently, Notre Dame Academy has some Division I kid who's ran in the first two games for over 1,000 yards.
Good He's Lord. Like,
but River Falls has got this kid who's going to Indiana, a lineman, chose Indiana over Wisconsin. I think he's a four-star recruit. He's a complete game wrecker. It's going to be fascinating to see how that
plays
out.
Well, please tell people, beat the Notre Dame guys, because this is John Gard, former Speaker of the Assembly of the Republic. This is his private school over there in Green Bay. My dad used to coach cross country at Shawnee Public High School and would coach against Gard. And Shawnee would show up at a little yellow school bus. And here comes Gard with a big, fancy coach
big
bus.
Coach.
Yes, and they're tents, and they have caterers. And so please, River Falls, beat the crap out of Notre Dame. Public schools over private
schools. We'll see what happens.
All right, very good.
That's true.
That's more than you want to get into, Representative Clark. But anyway, let's go to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, quickly, if you can, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Clark. How do you work across the aisle when you have essentially a dictatorship in Washington and you have... In the state legislature, you've got Robin Voss, who is so arrogant that even though he can see that this is losing him support, and he's had several of his teammates unseated, he still keeps on doing things like blocking bipartisan legislation that's passed our state senate that has enough sponsors to pass in the assembly. How do you get around it? People like that. We don't have a real political system unless we can do that.
Thank you, Jack. Fred?
Great question. Going to Washington, no doubt that a new congressperson is going to have a lot to learn, and all your instincts to work in a bipartisan way are going to hit a lot of walls. And I learned that during the first two terms of governor, or the first term of Governor Walker. But what I'll say is this. What we're doing at home right now, we've got to make a distinction between the Republicans in Congress. That party has essentially become a cult, the oxen yoked to the carriage of Donald Trump, between the folks at home who cast their vote based on their own values and their own beliefs. And we've got to be respectful of every single voter's decision and make a case for why we can do it better. And there are a whole lot of people at home who are willing to have that conversation. We've just got to create the place to do it.
I think it's a great attitude. Immigration, a big issue.
Can I add one thing on that,
yeah,
Todd?
Quickly, yeah.
I would just point out to the listener, one only needs to look at Roa Khan, who's one of the most liberal members of the U.S. Congress, and Justin Amash, who's a libertarian and from Kentucky and is pretty far to the right. On Epstein, they're the ones who are working together to get it out.
Yep.
So
yep.
There always is space for people to work together and to find, because oftentimes you can make unlikely allies. You really can.
I was going to mention that, Trigvi, that the discharge petition for the Epstein files right now has got a number of Republicans and Democrats together on this, and we're going to see how that lands today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom Tiffany's Not on the record. He's staying quiet on that one, but he's going to have to own the result of that, too.
Little less than 2 minutes left. Representative Clark, immigration, you've been going to bars, talking to people in northern Wisconsin. What have you heard?
Sure. You know, this is where you actually really get to learn what people are thinking at home who don't think politics 24/7. But, you know, I had a conversation last week in a resort near Crandon. This guy was a Marine veteran who had sunk his life savings into this resort. We talked for a while about politics. We talked about immigration. We talked about how Democrats really have failed on the border in a way that we need a better way to protect our border. There's no question about that. But we got talking about these raids, and he was a Marine veteran. And I asked him what he truly thought about seeing, you know, agents in masks, unidentified, hauling people off of city streets. And he said, that looks like flat-out racism to me. So even people that have pretty staunch conservative views about immigration are recognizing that what's happening now is not making us safer, and it's not dealing with the problem of immigration that we recognize, which is, you know, truly criminal behavior.
Fred Clark, what have we not asked you so far that you want people in the 7th Congressional District to know about you and your candidacy for Congress?
Well, I'm going to spend the next year having as many conversations as I can have with people across the political spectrum. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to hear different opinions. I want to learn as much as I can offer people a form of representation that they haven't seen. Tom Tiffany, despite whether people have voted for him or not, will tell you time and again that they haven't seen him, that he doesn't listen, that his policies don't reflect what people are asking for here at home. And I want to change that. I want to see government work in a way that serves the unique attributes of northern Wisconsin.
If you're listening to us on WXCO in Wausau, WCFW, the TAP in Chippewa Falls, if you're listening to us in Amory, if you're listening to us on WBZH in Hayward, get to know this guy. Go and Fred Clark has a public meeting or he comes to your community, talk to him. Because if you meet him and you talk to him, you're going to like him. And I say that based on personal experience. I really appreciate you being here.
Todd, thanks so much for the opportunity. I'll be here anytime. Let's stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Trigvy, as always, a pleasure to have you along on a Wednesday as well. Are you sticking around for, as he calls it, this or that, or are you out of here?
No, I told you. I had these people of mine have scheduled a call right at 4 o'clock.
He always now he has people. He used to be a flack like me.
Did you notice that?
Now
Fred does get it. You saw how he laughed. He gets it.
Fred gets it. That's what Tony Zimmerman said. Fred gets it. Maybe that's your campaign slogan.
All right. Good luck with your people.
Trigvy Olson, Fred Clark, appreciate it. Stay tuned. Hour two is next. Stay with us. It's the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.